Let's see, we are picking up Emir Tzashem on Yudam Adalif 10a, and we are picking up three lines down from the top. Last word on the line. So the Gemara says as follows: Tzibur Echad Shel Chametz, Ulefanav Shnei Batim Bedukin. So now again, continuing in these same types of cases, let's see, you had a situation where you have one pile of chametz, and in front of the one pile of chametz, there are two homes. Each one already had bedika done. The Osa Achbar Veshakal Veloyadina Ilahai Al Mouse came along and took some of the chametz. In this case, again, there's definitive chametz. Took it into one of the homes, but we don't know which home it took it into. Now, remember again, each of these homes previously were checked for chametz. So now the mouse took it into one of the homes, and we don't know which home it went into. The Gemara says, "Oh, Hainu Shnei Shevilin." This is the same case as the two paths. What's that case? Tisnan Shnei Shevilin Echad Tamei VeEchad Tahar. If you have two paths, one is Tamei and one is Tahar. VaHalach VeEchad Mehen VaAsataras. And now someone walked down one of the paths, and then he subsequently, like let's say for example, dealt with Trumas and Maestras. He is dealing with ritually pure items, but he does not know which path he went down. Uba Chavero, his friend came along, Bahalach B'Sheni Basa Taras, went down the second path, and then also conducted himself with Taras. Sinabal says, now the Shaila is, here's what we know, is we know that one of them went down the Tamei path. We don't know which one went down the Tamei path. So what's the Halacha? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, if each of them asked their shaila independently of the other, then ultimately again they're tahar. Now remember again, this is the concept of safek tuma birshus harabim tahar. This is doubtful tuma in a public domain, in a public setting, and therefore it's tahar. However, again, shteim bebas achos, if they come to ask together, tmein. Ultimately, again, they're tamei. Now, the reason they're tamei is because if they both come to ask together, you can't rule them tahar, right? Because at the end of the day, one of them is absolutely unequivocally tamei. On the other hand, you can't go ahead and rule them. So what's the option? If you can't rule them both tahar, you can't say one is tamei, one is tahar, because you don't know which is which. Therefore, the only alternative is to rule that they are both tahar. Rav Yossi says, either way, benkach, whichever situation we're dealing with, but ultimately, again, tamei, and both are tamei. The Gemara says, "V'amrava v'itim Rav Yochanan bebas achas dibra kol tamei." So Rava comes along, and Rava explains this in the following: everyone agrees that if they come to ask together, so let's say Shuvin and Shimon, each of them went down a path. We don't know which one went down the path that was tamei or tar. They come to ask together. Everyone agrees the only way we could paskin is that they are both tamei. If they ask independently of each other, everyone agrees that they are tahar. So what's the shayla? Interesting enough, what's the machlokes? Let's say Reuven comes along and Reuven comes to ask on his behalf and on behalf of Shimon. So now they're not coming together, but one is asking on behalf of the other. Rabbi Yossi medamile lebas achas. Rabbi Yossi compares this to a case of where they ask simultaneously, in which case they will be tamei. Rabbi Yehuda medamile zeachazer. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, this is the case of where they come to ask consecutively, in which case, again, they will be tahar. They will be tahar. So we'll say so again. So therefore, the Gemara is suggesting the same halacha applies in the chametz case. Again, the two householders, right, the two balabatim come, and ultimately, again, if they ask together, then we're going to have to say you both have to do a bedika. If they go ahead and they ask independently of each other, then ultimately, again, we could say the suffix is you don't need another bedika. And if one asks on behalf of the other, okay, that's a machlokis case. Next, suffix al, suffix lo al. So let's say, interestingly enough, here's the case. So a mouse went ahead and took chametz. Or I should say, a mouse had chametz, but we don't know whether or not the mouse went into the house or not. Did it go into a house that had bedika done or not? The Gemara says, oh, hainu bika. This is the case of the bika of the field. What's the case of the field? What's the machlokes? If someone walks through a field during the rainy season, now again, remember, during the rainy season, you don't walk through fields. That's because, again, the fields have been planted, and if you walk through it, you run the risk of really destroying the seeds. So what's that halacha? So if you go into a field during the rainy season, now again, we know that in this bika, bika is really like a plain, right? So in other words, in this bika, if you know in the plain, there is a field that had tuma, that had a grave. And someone says, I walked in this plain area, but I don't know, did I go into the field that had tuma or not? What's halacha? Rabbi Elazar mitar Rabbi Chaim mitanin. Rabbi Elazar says he's tamei, and the Chaim say that he's tar. Shai Rabbi Eliezer Omer safek bia tar safek maga tuma tamei. Ultimately, because Rabbi Elazar says like this, if it's a safek whether or not you encountered tuma, then ultimately again you're tar. If it's a safek whether or not you touched tuma, then ultimately again that is going to be tamei. So the Gemara says same idea over here, that halacha mice in this case we don't know, did the mouse enter into the home that had the bedika or not? So Rabbi Elazar ultimately again would be mekel, and the chachamim, the Bepashtos, we would say that everybody would agree in this case that you don't have to do the Bedika again, because remember, essentially it's a Safek Drabanan Lekula. Bedika Shamis is Drabanan. So it's a Safek Drabanan whether or not one would require Bedika, or right? And therefore, again, you wouldn't have to do it again. Interesting. Okay, next. Al Ubadak Velo Ashkach. So let's say a mouse went into a home with Chametz, right? And the home was already had bedikas chametz. And what happened? The owner followed the mouse in. He looked for the chametz, but he could not find it. Okay, so now what do you do? Plukted Rabbi Meir Rabbanon. This machlokes emachus Rabbi Meir Rabbanon. This nan. Hi Rabbi Meir Rabbanon said, Kol davar shebecheskas tuma li'olam hu b'tumaso ad shivade lecha tuma hechani. Anything that has a chazaka of tuma, that chazaka, that presumption remains until you know definitively that the tuma has been found, or exactly where the tuma is. Chum say no. Bodeg ad shemagi alasela or the karka besula. Chum say no. You dig down, literally again, until you get to rock or until you get to virgin soil. And if you don't find the tuma, you assume that it's gone. So too over here, the Gemara says, if you go in and you search after the mouse, sahaloch lemaisa. Halacha lemaisa, right? Everyone would agree that in this case you wouldn't have to check again, right? Why? Because once again, remember, bedikas chametz is drabanan. So in all of these cases, you have a safek drabanan. So in a safek drabanan, we rule the kula leniently, and therefore you wouldn't have to check again. Next, al ubadak va'ashkach, right? Let's watch this. The Gemara says as follows. So the same case: mouse took chametz, went into a home that already had bedika. Now halacha lemaisa, the owner goes in afterwards, searches, finds chametz, but he's not sure, is the chametz that he found, is that old chametz, or is that the chametz that the mouse brought in? So the Gemara says, "Plug the Rebbe, Rebbe Shimon Gamliel, Machlokes Rebbe and Rebbe Shimon Gamliel." What's the Machlokes? The Sanya saw the Shine about Bakaber. If you had a field, and there was, we knew there was a grave in the field, but the exact location of the grave is unknown; it was forgotten. Sanichnas l'socha tamei. If one enters that grave, one enters that field. Ultimately, he's tamei. Nimtsa Bakaber. But if at the end of the day, at the end of the day, if they find a grave in that field, later on they find a grave in that field, hanichnas l'so chatar, then one who goes into that field, doesn't come in contact with the grave, ultimately is tar, which is another way of saying shani omer, kever sha'avat hu kever shenimtsa, because we assume that the grave that you discovered was the same grave whose location was lost. Divrei Rabbi, those are the words of Rabbi. Rabbi Shingon says, no, not necessarily. Once you lose the location of the grave, just because you subsequently discover a grave, maybe that's another grave, right? Maybe that's a second grave, but maybe the location of the first grave still remains unknown, and therefore there would be tamei. Now I was saying, now again, halacha lemaisa, so this is how would this apply to this case? So I see the mouse go ahead, take chametz into the home that already had bedika. I go and I find some chametz. Is this the same chametz? Is this not the same chametz? So ultimately, again, using this logic over here, Rebbe would say, yeah, the chametz that you found is the chametz that the mouse brought in. Rebbe Shimon Gamliel says, maybe not. Maybe that's different chametz. And therefore, again, halacha lemaisa, you should check again. Excellent. Another case. Hiniach teshu matza aser. Interesting. So what happens if a person goes ahead and had nine pieces of bread in his home. And what happened? Umatza Eser. He ends up finding 10 pieces. Okay. So put the Rebbe Rebbe V'Rabban. It's Machlokes Rebbe V'Rabban. What's the Machlokes? The Sanyo. Hiniach mona umatza masayim. So this is interesting. If a person is talking about money of Meiser Sheni, if a person took a mona, is an amount of money, right? The person went ahead and put a mona of Meiser Sheni money in a box. And then what happens? Later on, he comes back and he finds two mona. So what's the halacha? Chulin u'maiser sheni mu'uravin zebazeh. So we assume that the first mona is maiser sheni, and the second one there is chulin. These are the words of Rabbi Chaim saying, no, hakol chulin. Ultimately, again, everything is chulin. Everything is chulin. Now again, what's the logic over here? So the logic of the chum is that people are careful with their ma'aser sheni. They're not going to mix it with chulin money. So therefore, we have to assume that he must have removed the ma'aser sheni money at some point, and therefore all of the money in there is going to be chulin money. See, interestingly enough, same idea. In this case over here, where you left behind 9 pieces of bread, you find 10. The chachamim would say it must be ultimately again new batch, right? And halacha lemaisa again, and therefore, because it's a new batch, you'd have to do bedika again. Rebbe would say you don't have to do bedika again because we assume that that 10th piece is just an additional piece, right? Good. So Gemara says as follows: Hiniach eser matzah teisha. What about the opposite case? Let's say a person had 10 pieces of bread and he only finds 9. Hainu seifa. Then again, that's the end of the brisa. What's the end of the brisa? Desanyo hiniach masayim matzah mana. If you put two mana of ma'aser sheni in a box, right? Ma'aser sheni mana in a box. So matzah mana, you come back, you only find 1 mana. What's the halacha? So mana munach umana muto. Then ultimately, again, we assume that the mana that's left there is still ma'aser sheni money, and another mana must have been removed. Dear Rabbi, b'cham necham say no hakol chulin. Ultimately, again, we assume that all of it must be chulin, and that the ma'aser sheni money was ultimately again removed. So really, it's the same thing. You have the chachamim essentially saying, anytime there's a change in the status quo, we assume it's a complete change, that he must have removed the ma'aser sheni money and replaced it with chulin. Whereas Rebbe says, no, you don't have to assume that any change in the status quo ultimately represents an entire change. Okay, well, so we'll stop over here for tonight. Shkoyach, everyone.